The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello, humans. Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. This is episode number 69.
Can't stop. We're fired. I'm fired before.
What? I'm Dave Schmolten, a.k.a. The Schmo. My co-host is...
Helen Yee with Helen Yee Sports.
And our guest today is Kendra Lust. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to be on this 69th episode. It's epic.
I'm going to be real with you. And everybody, we are dressed up. I am laughing. We just went to dinner. We had a good time. We were just at Barry's Prime Rib in Circa downtown.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Kendra, for inviting us out.
Thank you.
Late night podcast, 11 p.m. I'm just going to break the ice so everyone can understand the situation here at hand. We really appreciate you. Yeah. We were talking a lot of MMA. You're a huge MMA fan. We just had, at episode 68, Sugar Sean O'Malley. You had some choice words, but he was upset that you were not, he was not going to be 69. He didn't know who would be 69. You are 69. You don't like him. He loves 69, the rapper. No, or 6ix9ine.
6ix9ine.
That's why I tried in one of these takes, you know, 6ix9ine.
Okay. Okay. So I shouldn't say, I'm just not a fan. I feel as if he has not truly fought anybody who, a big name, okay? And I get it. UFC wants to push him. They really want him to be the next big thing. I get it. However, I just feel that he's a little bit overrated and he hasn't completely earned his stripes. So I'm looking forward to seeing him fight Cody because that, to me, is going to be an epic. They've had some banter back and forth. Cody's called him sugar-free. I mean, they've gone back and forth. So I can't wait to see that.
Well, do you think that fight will be next?
I don't know that it'll be next.
Because Cody talked about going to 125, I believe, right?
Yeah, but I feel like this fight could happen.
At 135.
At 135.
It could. I definitely see it. I don't know how near future, but it's going to happen within the next 12 months. It has to happen.
To me, styles make fights. And these two would stand and bang. It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Big personalities.
Former champion, yes. Cody Garbrandt. Timing might be right. The stars might align. It's interesting. But how damn tough was Chris? The green-haired
Chris
machine.
Chris Moutinho. Oh, my gosh.
He's the man.
He was incredible. I was a little disappointed that Herb Dean called it early. You know, I just felt that the kid should have had the 28 seconds or whatever was left to finish because he had sustained I don't know how many punches. It was incredible.
That was a record for the bat.
214, what was it?
O'Malley set a record for significant strikes landed in the bantamweight division.
But that kid's tough. And what he proved right there, I mean, to me, watching the fight, I could see that O'Malley was getting tired. His mouth was getting open. He kept looking at the clock. So, I mean, it was a great pro debut, and I don't think that's the last we're going to see of this kid. So he definitely set the tone for...
And I saw his manager, Tyson.
Shout out to Tyson Chartier.
Yeah, shout out to Tyson. Posts on his Instagram that I think leading into fight week, he only had a couple thousand followers on Instagram. And then after that fight, I think it's now at like 122,000.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. And he took that on a pretty short notice, too. So, because who was he fighting before? Or who? I forgot, but I think that for some reason I don't.
Yeah, no, it's Luis Moca.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, kudos to that kid. He's a tough kid. He's got a great chin. I think he's gonna definitely be a top contender in the UFC for sure.
And very well deserved $75,000 bonus.
Yes, I saw that. I mean, that's awesome. So good for him. As far as O'Malley goes, we'll see what's next. You know, I don't know. Whatever. I don't have too much to comment about him, but I think he definitely. Is branding himself. It's like you either like you love him or you hate him type thing, and I don't know, not a big fan just yet. I'm more of a Cody fan, so we'll see.
Well, should we talk about the main event of that fight, the big news?
Sure.
Conor McGregor, the loss, the antics, the post-fight yes. stuff. Where does he leave off? How does he make you feel? You're a big super fan of this sport.
Yeah, I love Conor. He is, obviously, he's made UFC what it is today, right? I mean, when you think of UFC, you see Conor McGregor. So he knows how to sell a fight. The fight sold out in 5 minutes, I think, against Poirier. So I do believe that there is a fight in the future. I just don't know. How long is it going to take for that leg to heal? It could be 6 months. It could be, I mean, who knows? I love Conor. Respect to Poirier. However, I don't know. I'm a Conor fan. I love him, and I don't know. We'll see.
Well, where do you think he goes from here? Because obviously, with his star power, and a lot of people are saying he can still pretty much call his shots.
Oh, absolutely.
But where do you think? Or what makes sense, because he has options like Nate Diaz, that yes. trilogy, obviously Dustin Poirier, if they go for that fourth fight. Even I've heard people mention Tony Ferguson. That could be a fun fight.
I love
fight.
That fight.
It could be. I mean, I definitely see a fourth fight for Dustin and Conor. And Dustin, of course, he's going to take it. Thank you, Conor, for making me another million. I mean, $1 million. Thank you, right? Okay. So I know that there was a lot of trash talk leading up to it. And you know, when you're talking about, like, family, I kind of think, like, that should be off limits. Like, right, the whole wife and the DMs and that type of thing. And then Dustin had said something about, oh, he said he wanted to murder me. I don't think he meant it like that. Just, I think that those are just words, like, in the octagon. But, you know, definitely leave family out. However, he knows how to sell a fight. And at the end of the day, he's an entertainer. I mean, he's former champion, he's great at what he does, and he sells the fight. So just suck it up and collect your next million for the fourth. It's gonna happen. I don't know. I think at this point he just needs to kind of focus on rehabilitating and go from there.
Can I just say one thing that I've been saying it all week. I've been telling Helen, and I knew when we do this podcast with you I'd somehow come out, but like I just really didn't like the idea of sticking a microphone in his face like Joe Rogan went down there. I don't know if it was him. I don't know if it was a producer. Whoever's judgment it was, like, I know he's been selling tickets all week. He's the face of the fight game. He's Conor McGregor. He's a legend. Yes. Hall of Famer. You know, his mark, his legendary status, it's already cemented. But, like, to stick a microphone when his leg is snapped, I'm not going to compare it to, like, Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva, but they're, like, snapped. Different fights, different times. But imagine sticking a microphone right then and there, when they're like the endorphins, what your thoughts, you're not going to be like clear, level headed when people are asking you a question. I feel like that's not being talked about enough. And I mean, there's no justification for what he said, hands down, but I just don't like all of the decision making, not some of it, throughout this whole thing.
Agree. You know, I guess what I was focusing on is Conor, you know, he kept saying like Dr. Stoppage. He wanted to make sure, you know, that's what stopped this fight, you know. However, yes, I mean, he's in pain. He just lost. He's down there. Probably bad judgment. I don't know who made that call. Not good timing. However, you know, the fact that I guess thinking Dustin and Conor, you know, no matter what Conor has said, he always pays respect. And it's, you know, there might be antics, you know, and trash talk leading up to it, but when the fight's over, he always is a class act, shakes that person's hand. Where Dustin, I don't know, I feel like he took it too personal, I guess maybe because they talked about family. But I didn't like after the fact that, you know, he kind of told the fans, basically, kiss my hole. That part, I just, I didn't like that. I guess I'm getting away from what you're asking me, but bad judgment doing that to him while he was down like that. But again, when it comes to Dustin, I just didn't like how he handled himself after the fact. It's like, things are done, you know, the guy's hurt. Like, I don't know, it just bothered me that he wasn't classy about it after.
And you mentioned about kind of Connor bringing or getting Dustin's family involved. What about even afterwards, his wife like gets in there and then flips Connor off?
Yes. And, you know, I mean, I to a degree, I get it, you know, because that's your husband. You're going to support your husband. Emotion is high. He's said a lot of negative things about her. And I guess it would piss me off if those things weren't true. However, there's a time and a place, and I just, that was Dustin's moment, and I think maybe just kind of step back and, you know, I didn't like that either, though. That's just my opinion, though. I guess what I do and whether people think is right, again, is two different things. But, yeah, step back and just kind of let your man do his thing and then, you know, go off and enjoy your million.
Yeah. I just have to say it was really cool getting to know you before we even did this podcast, yeah. Having dinner, yeah, breaking bread.
Great steaks and drinks.
Yes. Oh, gosh, yeah. I don't know. And our little mini desserts. That was fun.
That was good. That was great cookies. Steak.
I know.
Great steak.
I ate too much.
Oh, me too. However, can't even suck it in.
I know, right? Yeah, it's out there. But it was great. Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just glad to come back and hang out and, yeah.
So what brings you back to Vegas this weekend?
So originally, we were going to try to make, I keep alluding over to my guy, we were going to try to do the Watch Connor. And then I was like, okay, I don't know. And it didn't work out. We have friends coming out. So we said 3 days of, like, connecting because the pandemic has just been, you know, I mean, I've traveled, but we haven't, like, done anything without our little ones. So 3 days of us and then 3 days to kind of go hard in the paint. Although Phoenix lost tonight, I wasn't too happy about that.
Define hard in the paint.
Like, you know, you're going hard. Like, you just day club, nightclub. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I can do that. I'm a lot of talk. And then I'm like, holy shit. Like, I don't know if I can do this again.
What yeah. In today's day and age, what is a Kendra list? How much can you throw down of alcohol in a day?
Well,
and be functioning.
You know,
or not functioning.
Right. It's, you know, it's the quality, not the quantity. you know, I can do just like a few shots or a couple of drinks in the day, and then I need a break, and then night. So, I mean, I'm not going sloppy. You don't want to be sloppy. You know, just kind of feeling good.
Just like three at dinner, you know?
Oh, I know. What the hell happened? Well, he kept sending them over. Yeah. So, but yeah. That's about it. Misha Tate, she's fighting
her
on the 17th. I am so excited to see her fight. It's been a while. She looks better than ever.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Shredded.
Her Instagram, I'm like, holy crap, amazing.
Insane. And how her and her husband do it, I mean, they are one dynamic, like, kick-ass couple because, you know, they've got two little ones and they're both training and it's a balance. Meal prep, I mean, just, I can't imagine. So kudos to them because they are handling it. I'm excited. I wish that they had, you know, seats for fans to come to. I'm trying to sneak my way in, but I don't want to leave my friends out. Either way, I'm going to be supporting her, streaming the fight. Whatever I have to do, I don't care. We're going to watch it. So, yeah, she's going to kick ass.
We're excited. We're very excited to see it. It's so crazy, too, because not too long ago, it was before the pandemic, we were in Singapore. Or no, not Singapore. Yeah. We were in Japan for one championship. Misha was there.
Yes.
She was their ambassador.
Yes.
We interviewed her there. And to think of that Misha, that version of her, physically, emotionally, everything, where she was at that point in her life, to what we've seen now and that what we're going to interview her before this fight, and we're going to see her cage side from this fight, to see that physical transformation.
I know.
That's going to be really interesting for us.
And such a short amount of time, if you really look at the big picture, it's incredible. And I think I saw even she has like new, I don't know, sweatpants or something, like Misha Tate 2.0.
That's cool.
I love it. You know, I think though, there comes, especially for women, you know, they want to start a family. And if you don't have that passion, you know, it is time to step away, right? So she has a beautiful family, and for whatever reason, I mean, I think once you're a fighter, you're always a fighter, and that passion has always been inside of her. And I think now that, you know, she's back here, she's in Vegas, she's, you know, she was in Singapore for one championship. So, you know, a fire has been lit, you know, and she is reigniting her passion, and she's looking better than ever. And I don't know. Who knows what she's going to do? But I have a feeling, you know, the good things, great things. And you know, it's a, just a, she's reinventing herself, you know. So I'm excited.
And she's a great commentator.
She's incredible. And has a
good, like, radio show as well.
Yeah, I they asked me to be on it at one point. It was so funny, though, because I – I don't know. She's like, oh, you've got like something about, you've got some mean elbows. And I was like, oh my God, I went spray tanning. It's like, are these things like really bad? She goes, no. Like, and I was like, oh yeah. Like sometimes I can be, you'd never know I was a nurse. Like I could save lives at one time, but I can be kind of spacey.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But you, Helen is looking pretty jacked, but you, Kendra, you are looking very jacked too. Your arms.
You're down, oh, right? Because Barry's got me.
So it's no. crazy because Barry's. Shout out to that.
He got everybody.
Tonight. Yeah, yes. got me too. But what's interesting is like with the sport and you're a huge fan, MMA, fitness is really important to you and beauty is really important to you. And looking at these fighters like Misha and these warriors, like,
yes.
I mean, what do you make of everything?
I feel that female is the future. I'm quoting when a fighter, but you know, I feel like there, you can be beautiful, strong there. I don't feel like you have to fit a specific look, you know. I mean, if you want to be tatted and you want to shave your head, that's fine. If you want to be more feminine and you can do that. I think it's just personal preference. So kudos to all the women training hard and just following their passion, whatever it may be. I love it. I support it. And you know, everybody's watching, so.
And even two of those women, former UFC fighters, they're about to transition into bare knuckle.
Yes.
Paige VanZant, Rachel Ostovich.
Yes, and I love that. I have a huge amount of respect for Paige. I mean, I did before. More so now because she is still doing what she wants to do. However, she's getting paid a little bit, or actually a lot more than she was. So she is utilizing her skill, her beauty, her personality to create, you know, revenue and a better life for herself. So, and she's not necessarily doing something she doesn't want to do. She's still involved in MMA. So you, at the end of the day, you know, you have to love what you do, but you don't want to get beat up for peanuts, right? So,
but what she also does too, and I've noticed some fighters too, Rachel does it as well, like having, like, I don't know if it's called OnlyFans, I know that is one, but just having a page where people can get more exclusive content.
Yes.
And she's very good looking, she's going to get the attraction of a lot of people signing up for that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you see that business, and like, for you, like, what do you make of that whole thing? I think you must utilize something like that too.
I do, and I've actually had some of the UFC MMA people reach out to me and you know, in regards to it and how it works and that type of thing. And it's not, people always identify OnlyFans with adult you know, entertainers, and it's not necessarily, that's not true. So there are some people that, you know, may do implied nude or like bikini photos or just, you know, content of maybe them just like hanging out in their backyard, you know, taking a dip in the pool, whatever. So I think it's whatever, whoever is comfortable with, however it's exclusive, and they are making most of the money. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, your body, your choice. And if they're not under a contract with anyone, right, and, you know, then they should be able to do what they want to do. So a lot of people are using that platform to maximize, or to monetize, I guess, on their brand.
I'm sure that's probably changed the adult industry significantly.
Oh, goodness, you have no idea. It's incredible. It went from producers, directors dictating a lot of the movies and in the roles and who gets highlighted and what have you, to the performers having more autonomy and essentially branding themselves in the way that they want to. And it is I would say, oh my God, I've probably increased my revenue by over 90%. It's insane.
That's crazy.
Insane. So, you know, it's available. I think it's just the benefit, I think, is having built a name, you know. Mm-hmm. So some of the newer girls, you know, it takes them a while, but there's opportunity to make a lot of money. You just have to kind of know how to brand yourself and be consistent.
Now, do you see that as kind of the future and what the adult industry will kind of turn into?
Well, I think it all depends on what somebody wants. You know, some newer girls coming in the industry or even male talent, you know, they don't necessarily know of a lot of the platforms that are things that are available to them. So I think it just, it takes a little while to kind of figure out what you want to do. And then once you have a fan base, you know, then you can branch off and start working and doing things for yourself. You know, which is great, because when you shoot something for a company, you don't get residuals. That's it. You get a flat fee and they continue to make money
off your IP
over and over and over. With the OnlyFans, you're retaining 80% of the profits, and it's very lucrative. And I do believe that fans these days, they want more of an intimate connection. They want to get to know the entertainer or the talent. So they like that. It's more personal. So I think that is the way of the future, and that's how it's going so far.
And I imagine your OnlyFans only grows as time progresses.
You know, I initially felt really guilty when the pandemic hit, and I thought, oh my gosh, like 30% increase, like what the hell's going on? You know, and you know people are losing their job and, you know, that type of thing. And then I thought, you know, I'm not going to feel bad, because when you think about it, you know, I've laid out everything. I'm completely vulnerable to criticism, to judgment. Like, I've earned this. So you know what? No guilt, no shame. I'm just going to make the most of it and, you know, try to be strategic in developing a plan a little bit long term. I always say I'm not ready to hang up my thong yet. However, if the sales are going up, I'm not retiring, honey. Like, it's not happening. So yeah, so show me the money. So bad, but I love it. I have fun with my fans. They're awesome. They're patient as hell.
The Lost Army.
Yeah, you know, they're awesome, you know, because I can be a little like, I don't know, I go into mom mode and like I focus on all this stuff and everything else except what I have to do. And then I'm like, holy shit, it's 1 o'clock. I probably should have done customs, you know, so.
I must be living in the schmo zone. We go from the Nick Diaz army last week to the Lust Army this week.
The Diaz brothers, badass.
I know.
Nick's coming back.
It's official. I know. I saw that. I was like, okay, that's big news. That's exciting. Yeah. So looks like I'll be coming back to Vegas, baby. Awesome. Gotta be here. Gotta stay in the mix. So.
Yes, staying in the mix.
And kind of circling back to what you mentioned before about being a nurse, like what made you decide to transition into the adult industry?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get that a lot. And I always think like, you know, who says, yeah, I want to grow up and take my clothes off. Like, you know, you don't grow. Who the hell says, yeah, that's my dream. You know, be MILF of the whatever, you know, you just don't think like that. Yeah, no, right. So, you know, you don't think like that. But I've always been a very, I don't want to say promiscuous, but I've always felt like a very like sexual aura, like very like free spirited when it comes to that. So I always like to feel sexy, whatever. However, I was kind of like just sexy in my bedroom, had my own collection of DVDs in the top drawer, right? Oh, so, okay. You know, you got your little collection.
Any favorites?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know if I had any favorites. I don't know. I mean, we had our go-tos, you know. I think a lot of times it was just like background noise. We'd watch a little and kind of do our own thing.
Who's but, we?
Oh, you know, Professor X, my guy. That's the nickname Julian and I gave him. I don't know. But so we watched it. I'm trying to stick to the story. And enjoyed it. We're sexual, comfortable with each other. And then there was just kind of like some family things that happened and financial circumstances, just some with my family. So being a nurse, I felt like, okay, I have to help my family. So what can I do to help my family? Do I go back to school? No, that's going to take too long. So I picked up extra time at work and working as a nurse on midnight shift. And oh boy, that's fun. That's another story for another day. I started webcamming, just thought, okay, I make some money this way. No one will ever find out. And then someone said, oh, maybe you should do adult, like, porn. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I watch it, but, like, how the hell do I do that? So I was under this, I guess, illusion or idea that no one would ever find out. And how naive, right? I did not realize the internet was so big and that... Yeah.
The wild fucking west.
I know, right? Like, Jesus, Lord. Yeah. I was oblivious, like, because I had DVDs, right? Anyway, so I did it for 6 months, and then people found out, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I better tell my family because I didn't want them to find out from other people, right? So I essentially was just trying to, like, give my family and, you know, better life than kind of what I had. And, I mean, nurse cop, not a bad gig, you know, but you're never going to have your house paid off. You're never going to have property.
It's long hours from friends that I know who are nurses.
You're going to work holidays. You're going to miss your kids' shit. Like, no. So I, you know, since being an adult, I've never missed a holiday. You know, I have properties. And, you know, you build a life outside of, and it's not just about things. It's just creating opportunities, not just for your family, but for people that you care about and you feel, you know, have a good chance to do something better with their life.
It just, what bothers me about, like, our country, our society, is that, like, that a job that's an essential need, where you being a nurse, essential need, that you would want essential things to fulfill your happiness, which is what we're all in pursuit of and living this life that we're gifted with. Like, that you had to resort to something different than something that was your first choice because it wouldn't bring a means to an end for your personal happiness.
Yeah, but, you know, that's life. Yeah. I mean, it sucks. You think about it, like, in a way, like, I don't want to say it sucks. It's a great life. Like, we live in the best country in the world, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't feel bad about it. I don't have an ounce of guilt at all. Like, I am completely, finally at peace with the decisions I've made because, you know, I can see what doing that, you know, maybe I've sacrificed some things that other people wouldn't be comfortable with, but that's fine. Like, say what you want about me. I know at the end of the day, I can rest my head knowing I'm a good human being and what I do doesn't define who I am. So with that, zero guilt, zero shame. And, you know, I always think, like you said, teachers, cops, you know, a lot of the essential workers don't make enough, you know, and that does kind of suck. But we know that going in and, you know, I don't know, maybe we, you know, we're naive to the fact that, you know, we want more, I guess. I don't know. But I don't regret. I still have my nursing license. Like, I don't regret
any. You maintain that?
Oh, absolutely. That's awesome. I do my CEUs. Boy, they're fun. But, you know, it is what it is. So I don't regret things in my life. And I think, like you said, and I was talking to you about this earlier, Helen, things happen for a reason. And we become who we are because of our past experiences, right? So
we've talked about this many times. Yeah, I like that.
So.
And something that David always likes to say, and in the beginning he used to always tell me, like, he who cares least holds the most power.
100%. When you and Professor X told me this a long time ago, and he would say, you know, I said, I always worry about, you know, our little one. And I said, you know, they can say what they want about me, but I don't want them to say anything about you or her, because, like, that to me is not okay. You know, like, you can, I mean, say what you want. Like, I've heard it all. Like, you can't faze me, because if I worried about what people said, I'd never leave my house. Right. But what you said that David quoted is similar to what he had said. And he said, when you live your life for everyone else, you live in a prison and a jail, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, what are we always, you know, growing up, we worry about, what do our parents think? We're living to fit society's norms, right? Because we're trying to prove something. And at the end of the day, like, if you're really not happy what you're doing, you know, and you're worried what other people say, like, you'll never truly be authentic to yourself.
You can only control your happiness, and you need to figure things out. You only live one life. No one else can live it for you. So if you're going to listen to what all the haters say or the naysayers, you're never going to get anywhere.
Yeah. They told me no for months and months. Like, oh, yeah, no, never going to make it. Stop tweeting. You tweet too much. Like, people are tired of you on their timeline. And, like, and no, these were just, like, a lot of people when I first started in the industry. And a lot of people just saying, like, who are you? Why are you so nice? And, like, a lot of negativity. And that's okay, you know, because that's okay. I kept doing what I thought or what we thought was best for my brand, and I'm grateful for that. So, yeah. Well,
when you mentioned that, it just reminds me many years ago, some of my friends were also in the industry. I've never done it. I know people are asking me to do OnlyFans. I mean, I'm sorry. You won't see it on Google. Yes,
I mean.
Or incognito mode, but.
beautiful. I get that.
They would say that people get very catty in that industry, and it would kind of surprise me to hear that.
Well, I think, you know, women tend to be, I don't know what it is. I think guys, it's so funny. I was talking about this. I don't know if, I was talking about this with my friend Sheena earlier. She was like, yeah, women sometimes, like, will look at other women and be like, oh, you've got, you know, like, we're looking at our stuff. We're guys. They're not just pulling out their stuff and being like, oh, yeah, like, you got a penis enlargement. Touch it. Feel it. Like, how, you know, like, I think we're more
open.
Maybe, but in tune to that. But I think the problem is, you know, social media is infiltrates every aspect of our life. These, you know, the pressure to look a certain way, be a certain way, all these filters and plastic surgery and like, do what makes you happy, you know. But I think it is a struggle for women these days to just to be a woman.
It's a blessing and a curse, social media, because it's amazing. It's literally made huge careers. Like, people that used to be influential in Hollywood are now influential as influencers on TikTok.
Yes.
It's a different world that we live in. Yes. It's a bizarre to see. Even the way TikTok exploded during the pandemic and where it's at right now, it's night and day.
That's true. And weren't they supposed to or trying to ban TikTok at one point?
Yes.
That was a Trump. Now, that thing, not necessarily a Trump thing. I think because of the something, there were some regulations with China and the privacy laws, I think. It was something regarding that.
I know they were trying. I know Triller was also a company created because then they thought they would have a success with TikTok potentially being banned. No comment further. I have no idea. We stay out of politics.
Yeah.
It's just the best way to do it.
100%.
But, people, I could go deep with it, but we keep the schmoes on the positive vibes.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I'm not, like, saying, like, one thing's better than the other, but I think there was just, like, an issue with that. And for whatever reason, they were, I don't know, banning it for a certain time, but, you know, it's back or whatever. Kids love it. There's awesome dances. Like, you know, it's generally a fun, cool place, but social media has definitely changed the game.
Yes.
It's a blessing, but it can also be a curse because I feel like sometimes, like, I set a timer so I don't spend more than X amount of time on it.
That's
a good
idea. Yeah,
because you can just scroll and get lost and stuff, and you're like, where did the time go? And it's
by design.
Yeah. Right?
They're all competing for your attention, every single one of these apps.
What was that documentary we watched?
I don't know.
But it was about social media.
I can't remember the name of that documentary.
But women, I guess, getting back to what you're talking about, you know, we can be because, and maybe it's not so much in the adult industry now, but I remember, you know, when I first started, because we're all competing for the next place in that movie.
Very competitive.
You know, for me, not so much, just because I think there's a lot of younger, newer girls starting. I started a little bit later, so maybe it was a little bit different for me. I mean, it was still competitive, but I didn't, I don't know, I guess I just didn't, maybe I didn't look at it like that, but definitely for the younger girls, you know.
But now, and the girls going up now, they can just only use OnlyFans if they want, right?
No, I mean, a lot of the studios have I don't want to say been out of business, but they're not shooting as much, and, you know, their budgets aren't the same. So, you know, there are not as many spots to fill, like, on site, like, you know, in LA, like, you know, a lot of the companies have really have like gone out of business, but they're only doing maybe like on demand or like video download or, you know, that type of thing. So there's definitely a huge decrease in shooting, like quite a bit.
Well, do you think with OnlyFans and social media enabling women to kind of put their own websites out, like, do you think that it allows society to kind of embrace that stuff more? Whereas back then it was seen as more like just, you know, behind closed doors or late hours, like no one wanted to talk about it. But Let's be real, like, I'm sure most adults have sex or have sexual tendencies.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think with the pandemic, gosh, I don't want to say it was terrible. I mean, a lot of people passed away. It's huge. I mean, we'll never forget this, right? Like, it's...
Life's changed forever.
That's right. Okay, so... However, I think it did shed light, onto sex work, right? And, you know, a lot of these women who were put out of work, single moms or, you know, whatever, went to OnlyFans. I mean, there was a pastor's daughter who was, maybe a teacher. I forgot exactly what she did, but she's divorced and she started to do an OnlyFans. And then you have mainstream people doing OnlyFans and... You know, so I think maybe society views it differently, because if it's between feeding my family or keeping a roof over my head, I'm going to do OnlyFans all day. And, you know, it is what it is. It's 69th episode.
The 69th episode.
Got to get juicy.
No, it's... Yeah. it's So you brought up her earlier, but your daughter, and you were showing us videos at dinner, and she looked like she has some hands.
Only 9 years old, too.
She's nine, and she's, of course, you know, I'm a little partial. I think she's awesome, you know, but, you know, all kids can be little jerks, and she can be like that sometimes, but she's feisty. She's big personality. She's a leader, like... She's dedicated. She watched a Ronda Rousey documentary and wanted to train 6 days a week after that. And I'm like, 6 days? Like, friend time, mathnasium. She's like, oh, I can just cut out math. I'm like, no, you can't. Like, it's just not how this works. So I can't describe her. Like, she's triple fire on the Zodiac. I mean, someone told me that years ago. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? But she wasn't even supposed to be here. Like, I didn't even know that I could have get pregnant. So here she is showing up when she wanted. She came out how she wanted. Okay, here I am. We're not going to get too detailed, but I'm like 3 hours of this. I was tapping out during pregnancy. Okay, I had ice chips. I mean, I put mascara on before, and he's like, "Why are you?" I go, "Well, if I'm going, I want good pictures." Oh, I was a hot mess. He's squeezing like washcloths over my head. I'm just like, "Oh my god." So I'm like, okay, yeah, she's coming. They're like, oh, the head's right there. I'm like, bullshit, I don't see it. I want a mirror. I had a cheerleader. Okay, so she came when she wanted.
Oh, wait, cheerleader?
How she wanted. Oh, I had a nurse cheerleader, okay? Because that's awesome. She came instead of head down, face down, she came head down, face up. Little shit, too, but the wrong way. So, okay, when she wanted, how she wanted, and now she's doing, living her life like the way she wants, you know? So... She really, I know that she's going to be something fierce. She says, I'm going to be a UFC fighter by the time I'm 20. I'm going to be champion by 24, 25. You know, so these are things she's already said. So, hey.
Very driven.
So, love it. So then my next question is, at what age will she get her first schmo interview?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. If it were her choice, it would be now. Whoa. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It would be now.
Wow.
I do. Like I said, it was kind of funny. So... And I don't want to keep too much of your time talking about her, but I mean, I could talk about her all day. So she knows I do something, but she doesn't understand because she's nine, and we try to keep it in 9-year-old terms. So, you know, I say mommy has a model name, and, you know, because we'll go to events and people, you know, say stuff, and I'm like, shit. Like, I want to kind of prep her. So, you know, I said I have a model name and I take very sexy pictures, and sometimes, you know, I don't have my top, you know, so I kind of like, she's like, I don't even want to know that, mom. Okay, fine. Like, she's like, well, I won't be doing that. I'm thinking, yes, good. You know, please don't. Right. So, but I want to prep her, and that's all she needs to know, because she's nine. Right. So, here I go with my damn story. Now I forgot my damn story. Oh, I don't know the point of my story. Oh, where was I going with it? Anyway, but this is going to piss me off. We'll talk about it later.
It'll come off.
It'll come back.
It's
going
to aggravate me, though. It's going to bug me. Her interview. You said, when's it going to be? Yeah, so, oh, here it goes. That's where it goes. So, Richard had us down when he was at Andiamo's. Okay, Richard Wilkes. Okay, and he knows Dana White. So Dana White and him are good friends. Dana White happened to be down at Andiamo's at the same night we were there. So he introduced us. Fine. And I said, you know, Dana, I don't want anything from you. Just check out my daughter. 2 seconds. And if you'd like give her a follow, that would be cool. So she was excited. Dana White followed her. And then she was in her playroom playing. And she has like UFC decals and like whatever posters. And she had a UFC shirt on. And Dana White came in her room when she went live. And Professor X, my hubs, was like, hey, like Dana White's in your room. She's like, yeah. She goes, Mom might have a lot of fans, but I have a lot of famous people that come into my room. And I was like, oh, my God. Because he's like, nice shirt, kid, or like, you know, something. I was like, this little shit. So she's, I mean, I love it, though. I love it. I'm more like, go with the flow. And, oh, no, she takes the lead. She's putting boys in chokeholds. Like, she's just tough. So I love it.
That's badass.
As her mom, how do you feel kind of seeing her training and wanting to get in combat sports?
Well, I've tried to kind of like detour her a little bit. I'm like, you know, if you want to play piano or if you want to sing, you're a really great dancer because she's really good at hip hop. She's got swag. Like, she's really good. I said, you can do whatever and we will be just as proud of you. Whatever makes you happy, we will support it. And she's like, yeah, I don't want to do anything. I'm just like, okay, all right, fine. Okay, I tried. You know, so I don't know. I don't like it because I see, like, when I watch some of the – it's easier for me to watch the guys get beat up. I don't know why, but it just – I don't know. You view them a little – they're just a little bit more – they're tougher than women when it comes to certain things, right? So, but when I see like a girl, you know, cut up and bloody, you know, it's hard for me to see that, you know, and then I picture, you know, my little one, but then she's the same kid that comes home that has a cut knee. And I'm like, oh my God, let me get you a band. She's like, Mom, I'm fine. And I, you know, so yeah.
You're talking about MMA. You like and cover bare knuckle too. Those cuts.
I know. Well, not yet. I'm just, you know, they're nice enough to ask me to come down and fly me out just to kind of shadow and get a feel. And hey, they might say, we don't really like you, but you can come hang out. So I don't know. You know, no expectations, no disappointment.
Shadow, like as an interviewer?
Yeah, just awesome. You know, so just to kind of get a feel and you know. Hey, it's an opportunity. And what's the worst they can say is no. I've heard that so many times before. I just don't give a shit. So, yeah.
That's what I really like about you, too, is, like, I've heard that word a lot throughout my entire life. And Helen as well.
Aww.
It's like when people tell you no, you find a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you get what you want.
Yeah. And for me, it's bigger than just – it's not really about me at this point. I mean, I love it. I'm passionate about it. When I did an event in Florida in February, I was, you know, I enjoyed talking to fighters and these new young boxers making their pro debut or, you know, just maybe having a couple fights. And I just was, I loved, like, I felt this passion and just, like, it was, like, the best time I'd had doing something outside of, like, family stuff or friend stuff in a long time that I was so excited. I lost my voice. I mean, I was pumped. It's inspiring to see these young athletes, you know, and the things that they've gone through to kind of get their shot. And I was there to kind of be a part of it. So it was cool. So I guess my point is I'd love to, you know, kind of help my daughter. And not saying like it's – but a lot of times it is who you know, but just to kind of create some opportunities for her that maybe she wouldn't have had. So
you're a great mom.
Hey, that's one thing. I mean, I always say we're a work in progress. I think we were all trying to be like the best parent. Like, there's no book. And I read stuff. I'm like that nerd. Like, oh, this says this. And he's like, no, there's no book. Like, get out of the book. So I'm more like, you know, like, and he's more like, so we're a good balance. He's like, I'm hands on, but he's more of like a realist. Like, you're not going to, no, because I said so, you know, and that's just the way it is. She's a kid. You're the adult. Where I'm like, oh, we could do. He's like, no, it doesn't work like that. So we're a good balance. But thanks.
Do you remember the specific moment that got you really into MMA?
You know, I think it wasn't one specific moment, but when we saw that she was really passionate about it, I was like, okay, I really need to get into this shit, because how am I going to relate to my kid, right? You know, I mean, yeah, I can sit and watch her little YouTube videos and, you know, but I want to be able to really relate and talk, and her just like, you know, you want to have something in common, because as they get older, they want less to do with you and all about their friends. So it's cool to kind of have something like you guys can, like, you know, just talk about, go to. And yeah, so it's more about her.
So I got a fun MMA question for you when it comes to the UFC.
I'm ready.
Who would you say right now is the biggest star in the UFC? I mean,
oh gosh, biggest all things considered. Star. Oh my gosh. Biggest star. I don't know. Oh.
You just said Francis.
Yeah, probably Francis. I mean, I just, maybe.
Heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, I mean, pretty awesome, right? Yeah. His story, I don't know. I think he's a badass, and I like him a lot. You know, and I like, Adesanya, you know, I do. I think he's a very talented, you know, fighter. And there's definitely, like, so much more in store for him. Like, that's not the last we're going to see. There have many people who try to go into a different weight class and not necessarily one. But, I mean, he still has a lot of time. So I like those two. Yeah.
Well, what do you make of the interim heavyweight title fight coming up?
I just think it was a little too soon, right? A few months. However, it's a business, like we said, and, you know, it's I didn't necessarily agree with it, but I can see where Dana White, you know, he's a businessman, and it needs to be done. So it is what it is. There's not much, you know, that we can do about it. So wait and see.
Well, I'm excited for Houston. It's such a great fight town. We're talking about that.
Great.
That's going to be amazing. Amanda Nunes, she's the greatest female of all time.
Yes.
To date, she's competing again. It's the train keeps rolling.
It does. I don't know the dates on that, though. What
August 7th.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay. All right.
It's coming up. I can't believe it's already mid-July.
Okay. I can see myself getting down there. Yeah. Yeah, yay. That would be really cool. I feel like you have something. I have a golf charity event on the 12th.
Oh, okay.
Which is good for my girlfriend. She's a Ferndale police officer, Ferndale, Michigan.
Awesome.
And she's beautiful. So she's badass. So we're doing, like, I've never golfed in my life, but you know what?
I
for
was
charity,
ask you.
I'll do it. I don't care. We're doing it. And then the 28th,
I like it.
We're doing, it's in Maryland, and it's a celebrity basketball tournament type charity event.
Are you going to play?
Well, I got to cut these nails, okay? And I really need to step up my interval cardio, because that shit's sad right now. Okay, the last time I was on a team, I was pregnant, didn't even know it. I'm like, man, I'm winded. I'm running up and down the court.
Wow.
I'm like, damn, this is pathetic. I was pregnant, didn't know it.
When did you find out you were?
I think at the time was probably, what, only 6 weeks, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. But I was like, this is brutal, you know. And then I think I was around 8 weeks, because I'm kind of not on schedule, so but that's the last time I've really played on a, like, organized basketball. So kind of scary. I'm supposed to be one of the captains or coaches.
That's
so I told Bubba, I'm like, Bubba, I just might be like a bench player. I might be just like, you know, warm ups.
Do you know anyone you're playing with?
Yeah, not really. Okay. I don't know. I know it's bad, Bubba, don't kill me. But I know the it's on the flyer. I guess I'm less about who's there, less about who's there, more about the cause, anti-bullying.
I love it.
Like,
I love it.
I don't care if it's freaking Globetrotter. I don't really give a shit. Like, I like basketball. I'm all into anti-bullying and, you know, good cause. So
that's awesome.
Hey, the Big Three's here this weekend.
Yeah, we might be covering the Big Three for the first time.
Really?
I might be. Yeah. She's covered it before.
Oh. Yeah. Wow, that's exciting. You guys, I don't know how you guys keep up with a lot of stuff. You just drove in from California. Here we are. Yeah.
We're dedicated.
Yes,
we are. That's why well, I'm glad it all worked out. That's why when you offer dinner, we were going to jump on it.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, this bitch might cancel. It's Vegas.
This might be the most stressed up we are for the Schmoes on ever.
Oh, seriously, well, it's great. Yeah, I mean, it's only Vegas because otherwise I'm in workout clothes. Dress. Thank you. Yeah, it's workout clothes or what do we say? I look like homeless or like
you always dressed up. Put like photos of really cute leggings.
Really cute. I have some extras. I have to send them to you. But yeah, I mean,
I don't think it'll look as good on me. But
you'd be surprised, girl. Those pants are magical.
But David, I know he
likes the pants. Yeah, they're fun. They're just I like the colors. And you know, if they send them to me and you know ask me to post, you know, for a
nominal fee. You do a great job.
Yeah, thanks. It's fun. I like it.
Any final thoughts to leave this Schmozone episode 69 with?
I don't know. Let's get crazy. It's Vegas, and I'm bringing back YOLO. Okay, bitches.
Oh, yeah.
Now you guys. Yeah. You know, it's true. I mean, I don't care how old it is. You think about it. Like, I'm sitting here complaining, like, oh, I got to get ready. Well, Sheena's helping me, you know. But, you know, let's just enjoy it, right?
Of course.
You know, he keeps it very, like, real with me. Like, you know, we're not promised around. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So, and it's true. So we're just going to enjoy Vegas and go Misha, kick some ass, cupcake. And that's all I got.
Well, we really appreciate having you on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. You got me really hungry. I heard cupcake, red velvet.
Right? Red velvet. Ooh,
he's always hungry late at night. Especially
him too. He's my little secret muncher. It didn't sound good. Cheesecakes. Right? Yeah, I know.
He mentioned that earlier.
He did. I know. Well, hey, you know who you're dealing. They know who they're dealing with. Like, come on, it's not PG.
Yeah.
Right. It's a schmo.
It's episode 69. We are.
How do we keep looking up?